May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 135. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. 135.
Together from God's holy word, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and we will read to the end of verse 40. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us, and teach us how to pray. Most merciful, kind and gracious, and almighty Lord God in heaven, we do pray, Lord, that our minds may be solemnized as we come into thy house this evening, and that thou would come and grant to us a spirit of true worship, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. Oh, that thou art influence our worship of thee this night. Oh Lord, how we need thee to come right where we are. And we do pray that there may be those here with that desire, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh Lord, we pray that those desires may be fulfilled, that there may be thy Holy Spirit's presence, taking of the things of Jesus and revealing them unto men, leading us by faith to see a precious Christ. Oh Lord, we do pray as we come before thee that thou wilt keep Satan from us, his thoughts and his temptations. Lord, thou knowest how he seeks to buffet, to distract and to disrupt, how we need thy gracious power to keep us, and to fix our minds on thee, and to take our thoughts and lift them above inferior things. May we be wholly taken up with thee. We come, Lord, confessing our many sins. We're a group of poor sinners before thee this evening. Oh, we would seek to venture in faith and plead thy gracious presence. For thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Oh, Lord, we humbly beg then that thou would come and be with us. And may there be those tokens, those evidences, a sense in each heart that thou art here, present, working in our midst. Oh, how vital, oh, how we need thee. For they're just words, dear Lord. And without thy gracious presence and influence, it will be an empty round of service. Oh, we plead, have mercy upon us. Oh, Lord, do condescend. Do open thy kind hand and shower down some blessings from on high. We think of this windy weather we've had recently. We pray, Lord, that thou would blow a gale of grace through this chapel this evening. Oh, that east wind may blow through unconcerned hearts. Oh, that the dross may be removed. Oh, and may the south wind blow. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt blow upon the garden, that the spices may flow forth to thy praise and thy glory. Oh, we plead thy blessing. Have mercy upon us, Lord, we pray. And empty, send us not away. We come before thee, and we would bring before thee each of the friends who gather here. Thou knowest their concerns and cases, their needs, Lord, providentially and spiritually. We pray that thou wilt provide their every need. And may thy word this evening be suited to each case. Oh Lord, only thou canst apply the word with power. Only thou canst deliver the captives from the prison. Lord, do then come and free them, those that feel to be held captive by Satan, those who long to break free from those chains. Lord, do come and grant liberty, we pray. And we do pray for those who wait for thy appearing. Give grace, Lord, to wait, to watch and to pray. May there be that wrestling prayer, that prevailing prayer. There may be that zeal in our hearts, praying one for another, praying, concerned for Zion. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear, that thy work may appear. Here we pray, bless the church, bless the congregation. Glorify thy great and holy name. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ or else I die. O Lord, and those who have tasted a Saviour's love, oh, but many days have passed since then. We pray, Lord, for fresh supplies, fresh seals and tokens. Lord, there may be an establishing, that there may be a building up upon our most holy faith, that there may be evidences confirmed and fears and doubts removed. And Lord, we pray for the young and the old. We commit them each into thy hand. Thou seest the evil of the day in which we live. many things in the world to distress, many signs of the rise of Antichrist in our day, the flourishing and prosperity of Islam rising in this country and throughout the world. Dear Lord, do remember thy one church. Do remember thy dear people. Some are suffering in other places in the world. Some are suffering even unto death. We pray, Lord, be with them and help them and sustain them. And if we are to be called to walk a similar pathway, O Lord, do help us each. And oh, we pray in much wrath, remember mercy. We thank thee that thou art still on the throne, and all things are fulfilling thy holy will and counsel. Oh Lord, but oh, we pray, do be with us. Maybe, may each one of us be among those who endure to the end. May none of us be found short at last. May none of us be found presuming. And may we be found giving diligence to make our calling and our election sure. And may we be, Lord, found amongst those who stand, who are not ashamed of thee. O Lord, do keep us by thy grace. May we not be ashamed of thee. O Lord, for it is our hope. Oh, it's our only plea that thou wilt not be ashamed of us at that great day. O dear Lord, do then bless us, we pray. May there be the overflowing love of Christ shed abroad in each heart. Pour out thy love, we pray. And may there be the evidences of it. That love that constrains. That love that compels. Oh, that love that views all thy commandments, that they're not grievous. Oh, that removes every hindrance and barrier. Oh, Lord, in taking up the cross and following thee. Oh, make us more like thyself. Give us more grace. May thy image be seen in us. May the world see a difference in us. May we be a right witness. Oh, for we read, ye are my witnesses. Oh, Lord, may we be that right witness. Help us to walk worthy of our high calling. Oh Lord, keep our feet from slipping. Hold us fast. Keep us near to thee. Make us lean upon thee. Take away all our pride, our independence, our own righteousnesses, which are as filthy rags. And may we be found seeking our all in thee. Do then pardon and forgive our many sins. Be with any with particular burdens, any with, oh, maybe unanswered, or yet to be answered prayers. Those that are waiting, oh Lord, those maybe with disappointments, loneliness, and hard things, puzzling things, perplexing things. Oh Lord, do give grace and humility. Make us submissive at thy feet. And may it be what it is to know my Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. Oh Lord, words are easy to say. Oh, but may we truly believe and feel it. We do pray for pardon of every sin. Pray to be washed in the Redeemer's blood. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless us, that Christ may be revealed, Christ made precious, and a precious Christ glorified this evening. We ask all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 876. When the chosen tribes debated against their God as hardly treated, and complained their hopes were spilt, God, for murmuring to requite them, fiery serpents sent to bite them, lively type of deadly guilt. 876.
will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and with the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from a few words in the middle of verse 15. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and a few words in the middle of verse 15. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. The whole verse reads, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. But those words in particular, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. It'll be a wonderful mercy if you and I have in our hearts a desire to go even unto Bethlehem. What do I mean? Well, beloved friends, without Bethlehem, there is no Calvary. We gather at the Lord's table on a monthly basis, and our desire is in faith and in a spirit to remember him, his sin-atoning death and sufferings, what he endured for in bringing about the everlasting salvation of his people. And we seek to look back by faith at that great sacrifice for sin, the purging away of our sins, the finished work of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But beloved friends, without this birth at Bethlehem, there would be no finished work at Calvary. In particular this time of year, a desire. Only the Lord can give you that desire. Only the Holy Spirit can draw you with longing affections to go even unto Bethlehem. And what is the desire of a soul by faith seeking to go even unto Bethlehem? Is it not to view him? You know, it does us good to consider him. You know, Paul, writing to the Hebrews, he says, let us consider him. You know, that we may consider him more. But in particular this, we spoke this morning of how each of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And how each of us have a never-dying soul, and in our unregenerate state, we're not right, we're not ready. And by nature, our very birth, we're lost, and we're dead in trespasses and in sins. But, beloved friends, hear the word of this man, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. The matchless condescension. You know, if the Lord draws you in your affections, in your by faith to Bethlehem, you know that to see there, this is the reason this dear baby is born at Bethlehem. The reason is, beloved friends, that our sins are abhorrent in the sight of God, the bride of Christ, the church of God, defiled, polluted in sin, not right, not ready, and unable. And beloved friends, in unregenerate state, unwilling. Unable, unwilling, incapable of doing anything to alleviate, to bring about any salvation. Cannot purge away one sin, cannot blot away one stain. And, oh, if the Lord shows you your sinnership, how you're fallen, how you're base and vile. And then, then, to see the dear babe at Bethlehem. You'll have to put your mouth in the dust. You see, there, the eternal Son of God, the Word, the everlasting Word of God, the Word is there made flesh. Why? A detest of sin. Nothing that defileth can enter therein. The name's in that precious Lamb's Book of Life. They were defiled. They were unable to enter. Sin separating. No peace with God. A separation and an eternal one. But the covenant of grace. The bringing about of an everlasting salvation. And here it begins. Well, the plan from all eternity. The plan, salvation's plan. This way that was made, whereby these ruined rebels with their names in that book of life will be found acceptable, will be made right, will be made ready. The plan here is made manifest. The Old Testament, the sacrifices, the rituals of the and ordinances of the Old Testament, all pointing toward this great, great day, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Saviour of sinners into this world, the tremendous stoop that he made. And you know, friends, we will not understand the stoop he made until, may it be so, until we see the realities of heaven, what he left. You know, we can only faintly imagine, and there we come so far short, what heaven is, the glories of it. And, it will take an eternity to thank him. When we see what he's left for us, when we see what he left, the adoring thronging of angels around the throne of God, and there. You want to see the definition of humility? Go even unto Bethlehem. See that babe in a manger. That'll break your heart, beloved friends. When you see the eternal Son of God, by faith, lying in a manger. Helpless, but Almighty God. What a mystery. What a wonder of wonders. What a mystery. And really, on my mind this evening, we have, I've got three characters on my mind, and one of them is Simeon. And we read, don't we, that it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing if the Lord gives you a token. Some have had it, haven't they? Maybe there's something, they've been laid upon their spirit. Maybe someone is laid upon their spirit, maybe a family member or whatever, concerning their souls, and the Lord gives them a sweet token that it's well with them, or that one day they will be granted to see that make an open profession, be granted communion with them, union with them, flowing from heart to heart, or other things. But here, Simeon was given a promise, the Holy Spirit. It would seem clear that he had a desire in his heart. He was looking for the coming of the Messiah. The Old Testament writings having finished, and this period of time, the waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would appear that Simeon was looking for this day, praying for it. We can't imagine, can we, what it was like for those before the Gospel day, before the coming of the Saviour, what it was to have that faith to look forward to something happening. With the tokens, the certainty of it happening, but it not having happened, God not being made manifest in the flesh, the promises of it, yes, but oh, the faith to believe, with the continual offering of the sacrifices, and the Day of Atonement, year by year, the entering in of the high priest into the holiest of holies, all pointing forward, but so shadowy, so glimly, dimly. And here Simeon is looking for the coming of the Messiah, watching, waiting, and the Holy Spirit comes. And we're told he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. And on this day, the Lord Jesus is brought into the temple in fulfilment and according to the law of God. He's brought in as the firstborn male, and Simeon. He says, then he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. You know, that dear man, he took the dear babe in his arms, seemingly helpless babe. And what a view he had. You know, he had such a view of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the certainty of it. He said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, the Lord Jesus was to still live that life, was to still endure, what was to still go forth and to lay down his life and to offer himself as that spotless, innocent Lamb of God, and to purge away the sin, to cry it is finished, to lay in that tomb, and to rise again the third day. All of these things yet to come. But he said, Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace. He saw it all finished, looking at that dear babe in his arms. He could live and he could die on that dear babe. So certain, so fixed, such was his faith in the everlasting covenant, that the certainty, the Messiah is here. And though a dear babe, in the first few months of his life, here, oh, it's finished. Ah, here is my salvation. What a wonderful thing, then, if we are able to go even unto Bethlehem and view this dear babe, and rest there. Rest Oh, have that faith given by God. A glimpse of that dear babe in the manger. Oh, and rest in that salvation. Oh, you know, he had faith. He looked for, he saw the babe. Oh, and he could die, having seen, having held that dear babe in his arms. His everlasting salvation, eternally secure. Never a doubt in that dear babe. Never a doubt in the power of the Father. Never a doubt in the power of the Holy Spirit. And never a doubt in the dear Lord Jesus. How his wondrous ability, obedience. How he would endure. How he would walk worthy, an upright life. Oh, then, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Oh, to see there the beginnings. To see the beginnings of that glorious robe of righteousness. The first few threads of it being woven. This garment of fine needlework, exceedingly precious, but also freely, so freely given to his dear children. And there we see the first few threads being woven. And what is the greatest of them? Humility. We considered a little in the Sunday school this afternoon. And I spoke a little of the perfect ordering of all events. You know, Mary, Joseph, ordered perfectly, chosen. And the birthplace, Bethlehem, the busyness of it. Oh, the being shutting out, the shutting out of the inn, being forced into the stable, no room. All, yeah, all in the eye of Almighty God, the Father looking down, for so it seemed good in thy sight, not out of place, all perfectly right, perfectly ordered. We are lost sometimes, aren't we, in considering these things. But there, that spot, all ordered, chosen. And the manger, there the dear Son of God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And oh, it seemed good in his sight. And the dear Lord Jesus, when he received from his Father the gift of the Church of God, to bring about an everlasting salvation, to pay that debt, to pay the price, to redeem them with his precious blood, to live that life. He didn't demand a kingly birth in the palace. He didn't demand the finest of things, the richest parents. Oh, there in obedience, he's born in a manger. And then we have these dear shepherds, don't we? And beloved friends, it's another marvel, isn't it? That night, in all the busyness that was going on in Bethlehem, there's lots of people there, there was no room in the inn. It seems to have passed them all by. Solemn, isn't it? You know, they're all inside the inn and in the stable that the Saviour of sinners is born. And, oh, were they unaware of it? The shepherds weren't. These, they're not high stature men. They're not the cleverest of men. You say they're more simple folk. They're not well taught, not wealthy, not famous. But there they are. And they too, it would appear, had an understanding of the coming of the Messiah. And there they see a most wondrous sight. Heaven's opened. The angels. Come, and there's that great, great proclamation. Peace. A goodwill toward men. There's the ushering in. There's this great announcement. And there, unworthy sinners receiving. And they trembled, they feared. Such was the greatness of the glory of the throng of angels. And the angels said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." Ah, beloved friends, what a mercy that would be if there was a few souls at this time of year seeking to know an interest in the Saviour's sin-atoning death. And the Holy Spirit, oh, seal that word into your heart, for unto you is born this day. Unto you, in the city of David, a Saviour. Oh, is that what you long for? A Saviour. Oh, I need saving from my sins. I fear I might perish in my sins. I deserve to perish in my sins. Unto you. Unto you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And then there's a token for them. This is what you're to look for. Don't go to the richest house. Don't go to the greatest palace. This is the sign. This shall be the sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Oh, they weren't offended, were they? Oh, they weren't offended. They said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Oh, that little place, chosen before the foundation of the world as a birthplace for the incarnate Son of God, where he would assume a holy body and a holy soul, human, but holy. There, born in flesh, human body and soul, but holy, without sin, spotless, innocent, and pure. And he's to be found in a manger. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. And we read, they came with haste. Oh, they left the sheep. This is a day of glad tidings. This is what we've been looking for. This is what we've been searching for, seeking for, praying for. Oh, this let us go even unto Bethlehem, but in haste. Oh, what can hinder? Oh, what can slow us? Oh, we must leave the things. Let us press toward that mark. Let us go even unto Bethlehem. You know, the tempted, burdened, longing souls. What a place Calvary is for those feeling the weight of their sin, the burdens of it, the guilt of it. But what a place Bethlehem. Beloved friends, to go by faith to Bethlehem. to see that dear babe in a manger, to make his soul an offering for your sin. You know, if you've no interest in his birth, if your name wasn't in his mind when he descended, when he came from heaven to earth, when he assumed that human body and soul, when he was born in that manger, when he was lying in that manger, born in that stable, if your name and mine wasn't in his mind and upon his heart, then Calvary will be nothing to us. His words, "It is finished," will mean nothing to us, for it's not begun. Oh, beloved friends, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Oh, to go there and find that peace, to view the dear babe at Bethlehem and find peace in believing. Oh, that peace, Simeon found it, Anna found it. Oh, she spoke of it, she testified of it, for unto all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She couldn't keep silent about it. There, she viewed by faith the work of salvation complete. She viewed by faith it finished. She viewed by faith an everlasting salvation. Let us go even unto Bethlehem. The dear Lamb of God. You know, we read, don't we, in the very night in which he was betrayed, in speaking to his dear disciples, we have those beautiful chapters, don't we, from John chapter 13 through to 17, beginning with the Lord washing the feet of his disciples, and chapter 17 in that the beautiful prayer he offered up for his dear children. But in chapter 16, he says this: "I came forth from the Father," that is, at Bethlehem. "He came forth from the Father, and am come into the world," and that is his life. "Again, I leave the world and go to the Father," and that is his death and glorious resurrection and ascension into glory. Those three things. Oh, to be a partaker. Oh, to have an interest in all three. Oh, beloved friends, may you and I have that desire. Oh, may it be. The incarnate Son of God came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, born in a manger for me. He left his radiant throne on high, left the bright realms of bliss to come to earth and bleed and die. Was ever love like this? Oh, that the love that moved him, that the love that moved him to come and to be made flesh. Where would we be without it? Beloved friends, we spoke, didn't we, of the sins and our failings. We none of us have lived a life that warrants a moment in heaven. None of us have lived a life that would in any way give an escape from that condemnation we're under, which is an everlasting sentence in hell. That's what our sins deserve. That's our standing out of Christ, and that's our standing in our unregenerate state. Oh, but the dear Lamb of God, that spotless, innocent, and pure Lamb of God, who came He was born that he might die. God cannot die. But the Lord Jesus, the Word, we read, was made flesh. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Why? He must have the capacity to lay down his life. And the Godhead cannot die. The mystery of it, the necessity of it, this holy thing, that the Lord Jesus, taking upon him the form of a servant, that he may lay down that life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Oh, do you see that love flowing at Bethlehem? As he assumes this body. A body hast thou prepared for me. But beloved friends, what a cup was prepared for him. To drink the very dregs of it. He came to Bethlehem, that dear babe in the manger. He knew. He wasn't under any illusion. Knew what it would cost. His face was steadfast, set toward Jerusalem. Never a doubt, never a shadow of doubt in his mind. Yes, we read. Oh, solemnly we read the horrors of it. And he experienced the real horrors in the putting away of the sin. In the Garden of Gethsemane, this is thine hour. The powers of hell and sin and Satan raining on him. He experienced the horrors. But it's fixed. Certain. Yes, it was a great, no less than the Son of God, could endure. But it said, isn't it, he endured it with strength enough. And none to spare. We think of that in the wine press, squeezed out the very drops of blood. The Saviour for sinners, prostrate in the garden, and this dear babe of Bethlehem. He had that before him, didn't he? Stretching out in his life. It's what he came for. The offended, suffering for the offender. It's normally the other way around, isn't it? The offended normally takes vengeance upon the offender. There's normally punishment from the offended one put on the offender. And beloved friends, we're offenders. Oh, what an unspeakable mercy. If for us we have a token, a seal in our heart before that great day, that the offended one endured our punishment, justice spent itself on him. He instead of me, the substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sinner's place. Let it be for me. Beloved friends, if it's not, then justice will spend itself on us for an eternity. But in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes far off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. This dear babe at Bethlehem, that the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. No birth at Bethlehem, no spotless life to weave a robe, no threads in that garment, no costly apparel, no work of fine needlework, no hiding place to cover our shame as having once been a sinner. No birth at Bethlehem. No condescension to coming into the sinner's place. Then no hope of salvation. And no precious blood to be shed. The Lord Jesus must, there must be the shedding of blood. For without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. The law demands it. And so the Lord Jesus must be born, must live a life for his people, and must lay it down, must shed that precious blood. The fountain must be opened for sin and for uncleanness, but it can't be opened at Bethlehem. He can't perish in his infant days. There's a garment to be woven. There's a life to be lived. And there, in that deliberate and determined act of obedience, our great, great Redeemer lay down his life for his people. A deliberate act, a voluntary act, an act of obedience, an act of love. An act of love, and a Father, well pleased with that sacrifice. And what a greater sacrifice it was when you see the life he lived, that spotless life, dwelling amongst sinners. There's a very, very, very humbling word which struck me. One verse at the end of John chapter 7 is this: "And every man went unto his own house." Chapter 8, first verse: "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives." Solemn thing, isn't it? They all had a place to go to. And our great Redeemer, the creator of all the universe, the Word who was with God and was God in the foundations of this world, had nowhere to lay his head. Every man went unto his own house. No room for him. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and then early in the morning he came again into the temple. Friends, do we not see by faith this humility, the possessor of all things and yet having nothing? The creator of all things and yet having nowhere to lay his head. They all went to their houses, their homes. He went to the Mount of Olives. One day he would walk into that garden, the Mount of Olives, for them. How he must have entered in those evenings, those nights he spent. And there, all pointing forward to that great, great work the putting away of the sin of the church, as he was to walk into that garden for that final time, and there to grapple, with the powers of sin and Satan, to suffer an eternity of punishment for every one of his dear children, and all this overshadowing this dear babe at Bethlehem. There resting, there peaceful, and view him in the arms of Simeon, there the dear babe. Would it be a wonderful thing, by faith, to take that dear babe into your arms, and see your everlasting salvation, that hope, that peace would flow, that faith would be given to gaze upon him, the incarnate Son of God, the Word made flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace. Oh, beloved friends, let us, poor unworthy sinners, there's a pattern that's set forth by those shepherds. Unworthy, sinful, nothing to bring, nothing to give him, except a poor sinful heart. Oh, let us go even unto Bethlehem. Amen.
Elections last Lord's Day, which were for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association, amounted to £2,220, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who also hopes to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Izzard is expected to preach next Lord's Day. And will the members please stay behind after the prayer meeting? Let us close with hymn 158. Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend, life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend. May I sit forever viewing mercy's streams in streams of blood, precious drops my soul bedewing, plead and claim my peace with God. 158.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.